following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Good morning, again. And again, welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. I'm so happy that each of you is here worshiping God with us this morning. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. It's been a beautiful kind of couple of weeks, and especially yesterday and today. I hope that you've enjoyed that gift of beautiful weather that God has given, spent some time outside the house, even if it's just driving, so you can enjoy the sunshine and the mountains and all the gorgeous scenery that we get to really enjoy like all the time here, except when it's really gray. I know I have. We're continuing today in our 10 Healthy Missional Markers series, looking at those things that we as a church family can be working towards and can be mindful of as we strive to live into God's call, God's priorities, God's mission for His church. And I want to do just a couple of informational things before we dig into today's text and today's marker. So first of all, next week we're going to have a guest preacher here with us, Reverend Tim Keener. Tim is a church planter through our denomination, through the Evangelical Covenant Church of Canada. So Tim and his wife Di, but only Tim will be here, and their kids, they're working on planting a church in Montreal, which extends our conference in Canada from, you know, the Vancouver area to Toronto is what it is now. Another province. I'm thinking kilometers. Another bunch of kilometers to the east to Montreal, which is really exciting. So he will be here preaching, but he'll also be here at 9:30. In the morning for Sunday school. In the morning, he'll be talking more about the church planting and what's going on with that and answering questions, and so I'd encourage you to be a part of that. In our worship, he'll be preaching the next marker, and the text for that marker is a really familiar one for all of us. It's Micah 6:8. So it's kind of neat because it continues that same passage five ways from August, and here we have a new, you know, another voice that's preaching this same word to us. So I'm really excited for him to come and preach and share what ministries of compassion, mercy, and justice look like and how we can be participating in that as a church. And then the second FYI thing is really for 3 weeks from now, which I know is a long time for you to remember, so you'll get reminder maybe next week and probably, well, certainly the week after that at least. But this is for, you know, you planners out there who want the next 3 weeks to write down your notes and have things prepared, because I don't want angry emails saying, you didn't give me enough time. I didn't, you know, I would have done something, but you didn't tell me. So I'm telling you. So similarly to what we did at the end of the Same Passage, Five Ways series in August, where we had folks come up and share what God had been speaking to them throughout that series, we're going to give the same opportunity. So March 22nd, so 3 weeks from now, if there is something that throughout this series, a marker that has particularly stood out to you, or things that you have heard and seen God speaking or God doing in your life around these markers, things that you have been convicted of personally, or things that you have been convicted of about our church, things that you're excited about personally or with our church. This is that time that we get to hear from one another and hear what God is doing in those ways. So I'd encourage you to think about that, to pray about that, and if you are interested, you can let me know, but I'm going to trust that there will be folks who are willing to share on that Sunday, and so we'll do that. So 3 weeks, 3 weeks. All right, scheduling informational stuff out of the way. I know you're really excited to get into our marker for today. And today it is sacrificial and generous living and giving. So the main passage from Scripture that we're going to be working from, it's really not all that dissimilar from the passage we looked at on Family Day. the passage from 1 Corinthians 12, which talks about the parts of the body. Today we're looking at a different letter from Paul, his letter to the Romans, and we'll be in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And it talks, you'll see, in using some similar language. We'll also be looking at a couple of other passages as well, some different stories that we'll be bringing in. But this is our primary passage for the morning. And we'll talk about the need for sacrificial and generous living and giving. So I'd encourage you to open up to Romans 12 if you don't have a Bible and would like one, either for today or to keep. Raise your hand, and one of our ushers would be happy to bring you that, to bring you the Word of God. So let me pray for us this morning, and we can dive into God's Word together. Great and loving God, may our sense of belonging within a community of faith further the longing to be your faithful servants. Teach us to build a partnership with your Spirit that advances the ways of generosity and grace. Accept our giving and receive our gifts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Romans 12, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. We read here that God is the originator of all things, all that we are given. Paul reminds us of that. We each have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Our gifts may be different, but we have them, and they were given to us first by God. And then with those gifts, we have the instruction to be generous and to give them sacrificially. That means with our lives, that means our time, that means our gifts, that means our comfort, that means our finances. As we continue in this morning, keep all of those things in mind. As Paul is talking about giving, he's talking about all of that. Giving our whole selves. Time, gifts, talent, passion, finances, comfort. Our whole lives. So the first question is, why do we give? Why should we give? Our text today from Romans instructs us that it is a way of responding to God's mercy and grace given to us in Jesus Christ. John 3:16 and John and 1 John 4:19 I think illuminate this even a little bit more for us. John 3:16 is that verse that we've all known since the first time we ever met Jesus, most likely. And probably is the most well-known verse in the Bible. And it tells us that God gave the gift of his Son. God loved the world that much that he gave his Son. That is the ultimate gift, the gift that we are then responding to. And God did that out of love, love for the world. And so then we give back to God as a show of our love of him. And 1 John 4:19 kind of takes it that next step. It's a short and sweet seven-word verse. We love because God first loved us. It's that simple. There's no need to explain beyond that. We give because God first gave. We love because God first loved us. And we do this in response to the overwhelming love shown through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that's our bottom line. We give because God first gave and gave the ultimate gift. And then we get to, okay, what and how do we give? Well, our text here from Romans gives us a pretty good idea of the kinds of things we should be thinking about, should be preparing, should be ready to give back to God as a portion of what he gave us. Spiritual gifts, talents, money, encouragement, words, time. And we see that none of those things are to be given in a way that's based in frustration or obligation or annoyance. There's a passion and there's a heart and there's a drive behind all of the things that God talks about giving back, giving to God. And really, it's about giving our whole selves, so all that makes us up. And then the other piece is the not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought. These words really jumped out at me when I have been preparing for this service. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. Paul's really kind of cutting people down to size with those words, isn't he? Don't hold yourself up too high. Your gifts aren't any greater than the gifts of those around you. Though the people sitting next to you, the gifts that they give are valued by God just as your gifts are valued by God. Everyone is to bring gifts to God in a sacrificial and generous way. It reminds me a lot of the widow who gives her two pennies at the temple from Mark 12. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciple to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." We know that Jesus' praise wasn't over the amount that people gave, but the heart and the sacrifice with which they gave. Probably just about everybody there put in more money than this poor widow. But Jesus holds her up as someone who gave all that she had to God. All that she had to live on, she gave to God. So don't allow what anyone else gives to determine what you are to give. You're not measuring your gifts against the gifts of the people sitting next to you. You are giving to God in accordance and in a sacrificial and generous way according to the gifts that you have been given by God. That is sacrificial giving. Giving what you have to live on to God. Giving first to God, not last out of our excess. Not just what's left over after our bills and our needs and our wants are taken care of. This money was something that the woman valued. It was something that she needed, in fact. But that's exactly why she gave it to God. Giving God things that have no value to us are not generous or sacrificial gifts. We read in Genesis the story of the offerings from Cain and Abel and how God feels about gifts given that are not valued by the giver. God isn't real big on that, is he? If we're not giving something that we value, whether that's money or time or expertise or energy, then we're not giving in any way that's at all sacrificial. Is there something that you value that you are not yet willing to give to God? Or not willing to give enough of to God? We also see that there's the need to understand how gifts can be used. I'm reminded of another of my favorite stories, and the one, the account that's specifically from John, of the feeding of the 5,000. And I preached it this summer, and I just love it. And the version from John I love so much is partly because of the little boy who offers the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. This boy gives all that he has. He offers his lunch, and maybe more than that, maybe all he has to eat for the day, maybe longer, maybe all his family has to eat. And he sees something that can be used by Jesus, something that was needed by this huge crowd, and so he offers it. The boy gave not only sacrificially something that he needed, but he also generously assessed what he had and how it would be valued by the people he was giving it to, by Jesus, by the disciples, and by this crowd that needed something to eat. As we look to give sacrificially from what God has given to us, there's also the need to assess what it is that can really be used by those that we are giving to. I'm sure we've all seen the TV shows where it's usually the husband, and I'm not trying to play those games, but it's usually the silly and selfish husband who buys a gift for his wife that's really something that's for him, right? My favorite example, and I tried forever to remember where this is from but couldn't, was a husband who, for whatever holiday it was, decided that he was going to buy his wife a bowling ball. He bowled, she didn't, and he knew that full well. He wanted a new bowling ball, she probably couldn't have cared less. And so knowing that he would probably just get the bowling ball afterwards, he had his name engraved on the gift that he was giving to his wife. That's not sacrificial or generous. It's not a whole lot better. The heart, I think, is better, but it's not a whole lot better when we give things that we just don't want anymore, have no use for anymore, that also cannot be used by the place, the person, the ministry that we're giving it to. I got a phone call a number of months ago from someone who was moving and who wanted to donate a bunch of their furniture to church. Like they didn't know what else to do with it and figured, well, the church, of course, has lots of rooms, and so those rooms need things. There's an assumption. It wasn't the right assumption. But the person was really surprised when I declined, you know, what was, like, it was a kind-hearted offer, certainly. But then the person understood a bit more when I, you know, explained that these weren't things that we actually needed or had any space for. It's not hard to realize we don't have a ton of extra space to just house things in our church. And the same kind of thing would always happen at camp. People would bring donations of things to camp, and sometimes they were great. Like, they were wonderful things that were really helpful, and often they just weren't. People were cleaning out their garages, people were cleaning out their basements, and figured, well, camp has 100-plus acres. Of course there's a place for this. Physically, there may have been a place for that, but there wasn't actually a need for that. There wasn't a use for it there. It's difficult to try to hold in balance wanting to give generously, but also taking the time to recognize what can actually be used, whether it's something that the receiver actually wants or needs. There's a need to be both generous and sacrificial and have an understanding of what those gifts can be used for. This boy gave something of value, something that was valued by him, and something that would also be valued by the crowd. And he trusted that even this little bit would be used by Jesus. I'm sure he had no idea how greatly it would be used, but this little bit he saw the need for, and so he gave, sacrificially and generously. So then how can we, as individuals and as a church, work towards living out this need to live and give generously and sacrificially? The first thing we have to have is some understanding of what we have to give, both as individuals and as a church. What are those things that you have to give? What do you value? What do you value? Are you looking for opportunities to take what you value and give it to God? Whether it's here at Emmanuel or in other ministry opportunities. Do you know what your spiritual gifts are? Do you know the ways that God has empowered you to care for others? If you do, then it means knowing them and growing into them. If you don't, then it means coming and talking to me so we can figure it out together. It means being creative in the ways that God can use your spiritual gifts, can use your finances, and can use your time for ministry. It means taking what can be the most humble gift, thing that you may not even think is enough, and giving it anyway and trusting that Jesus is going to do more with it. And then likewise, as a church, we have to do the work of assessing what gifts we have to give God. Our building, our land, our people, our time, our finances, our location, our influence. As a church, we have to understand what those things are that we value together and then take the next step. And that next step is learning how those gifts can have an impact, can be valued, can be used by God. Getting to know different ministry opportunities, both here in this church family, in our broader community, and in the world. And similarly, our church has to figure that out. We have to do the work of assessing how we can best serve our community. We can't assume the ways that we want to serve our community. We have to figure out where it is we can actually serve. And Paul calls us to do this with our whole lives, to give our whole lives to God, to give our bodies to God as living sacrifices. Everything we have, everything we have been given, God first gave to us, and God first loved us. We love because God first loved us, and we give because God first gave to us. Oh, Heavenly Father, let us live and give in such a way that there not be any confusion, that we not hold on to possessions that belong to you and your hopes for the world. God, may this church always be an outpost for giving the great things of life and faith. We bring what we have, God. We know that it will never be enough, but we humbly offer our gifts anyway. And we pray that you would do infinitely more than we can imagine with these gifts. And we pray this all in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.org.